All right, well, let's get answers from the guy I know has such answers, a guy I've had a 19-year relationship with talking about such things. Chris Landry is an NFL scout and consultant. You can find him at LandryFootball.com as well. Chris, how you been?
Hey, Chris.
Been doing good. How we doing, guys?
Really good. Really good. It's that time of year, Chris. It's good to hear your voice. We could get kind of back to Kyler Murray in just a second, but there's a story that's coming out here in the last few minutes that it sounds like Daniel Snyder's taken over the whole operation, and there's talk of him trading up to move into the top five, and he's circling Daniel Jones now. I don't know if this is smoke and mirrors before the draft or if this is Daniel Snyder being Daniel Snyder. Would you have any insight into that?
Well, I know that Dan Snyder is definitely going to take over at least in the decision-making process. And normally, he normally checks his thoughts, but he takes that even a step further or so. I do know they're not for what they specifically would want to do. They'd like to move up, and I would have moving up. They're moving up for a quarterback. They're in a need for a quarterback, of course, and that's the type of thing that he would get involved in. At least in his old eyes, he thinks he knows who's the best fit. So we'll see how this plays out. They obviously have their target on someone. We can get up. Well, the Jets have an interest in moving next. But you know, keep in mind that you're getting a different level of player. Washington's at 15. Mm-hmm. So if you're talking about getting into the top five, it's going to cost you an awful lot. And if you're a team like the Jets, you're getting a completely different player for 3 to 15, or if you're the Raiders from 40, you know, Tampa or anybody, you know, in that top five, that's a completely different player. So it's going to cost an awful lot for them to do it all.
Why is Daniel Jones morphed into how has his stock risen so much these last couple of weeks? I know it happens from time to time, particularly with quarterbacks, but, I mean, I've seen enough of him and some others. He's like sixth, fifth on my list. Where's this love coming from?
Well, everybody's moving up. That's a fallacy, or moving down. It's just, you know, people in the media speculate as to who's there, but they don't know. Teams have these guys completely different than the talking heads on TV and whatnot. So people that like them have always liked them. The people that have had them, wherever they have Daniel higher, wherever, they haven't changed their view on them. It's just maybe some of that's coming out publicly. A lot of what you're hearing, just putting out information, you know, that there be a truth to any of it. There could be a lot of speculation by to get somebody else to move, by floating it out that somebody else might be willing to move, just how the game is played this time of year. So, you know, be careful to not necessarily bite into that, well, this guy's moving up. Nobody moves him up the last few days. It's a process of, over time in evaluation. You know, as you get toward year, that's when you do all of the players. As opposed to in there the fall, you go in November 1st, well, the only thing you're looking at is games through September and October. You know, looking at further games, doing research, and getting them going, getting a feel for their aptitude, and all those things factor in. So nobody puts their board together and finishes up until about a week ago, 10 days ago. So you know, there's really no movement on board that hadn't been set.
Let me ask you this. As you sit right now, because there have been a lot of smoke and mirrors about pick number one, do you think Arizona is taking Kyler Murray first tomorrow?
Well, I don't know. I think they are, yes. The thing that I think that people have to understand is until they get on the clock, they don't know what offer they might get and what options they might have. I think they'd like to move down a little bit and still get the guy that they want. So, you know, and again, not letting people know what you want to do. There's no advantage to letting people know what you want to do, because if you do, then your phone won't ring and you might miss out on a potential option trade-wise. But I think if they don't get the call that they want, which I don't think they will, I think they'll stay there at one, and it sounds like they're going to take Kyler Murray. I don't know that's what I would do, but that's what I think that they're probably going to do if they stay put.
Well, certainly if they took Kyler Murray, I mean, from a salary cap standpoint, certainly fine if they kept Murray and Josh Rosen, no question. I think there's no way that that scenario does happen. I think they do take Kyler Murray, in which case Josh Rosen been rumored for a number of teams, but the two that really have emerged is maybe the Miami Dolphins or the New York Giants. I know some don't want the Dolphins to take him. They want to tank for Tua, but if he does indeed, if he is available, Josh, I mean, if Josh Rosen is available, and what's the percentage that you think he could end up with Miami, in your opinion, right now?
Well, I think he'll end up somewhere. I think it's really good value, particularly if you can get him for a high third, maybe even a late second.
Nice.
If you had a good grade coming out of him on at UCLA, the kid really, some of the questions that I had on him about maybe his commitment to football has been proven, you know, clear. He's been a really, you know, dedicated player. He's on a bad football team, and there's certainly nothing last year that would suggest that, well, he doesn't have it. The issue is the Cardinals paid the $10 million signing bonus,
yeah.
And so you can get him for really cheap. But you're talking about, you know, whether it's a Daniel Jones, and maybe that's who the Redskins are moving up for, or whatever, to take a guy that, you know, everybody thought was a first-rounder last year, you can get him for perhaps a second or a third-rounder, and you don't have to pay the $10 million signing bonus, and you get him on a rookie contract.
Yeah.
Well, who cares? If he doesn't make it and he's not that good, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't renew the deal at the end of the year. But you've got a real good opportunity to potentially find something, so there's no real downside to it. So I think it's valuing. I mean, if I'm a team looking, I would absolutely look into it. And then I would still consider, you know, if there's a quarterback I like, you consider it. You have trade value there. But, you know, it's only if you really believe in them. And if you don't, well, then you don't make that move. But if you do, just think about the price and how reduced the price is relative to any of these guys that are even in this year's draft. It's going to cost you a lot more by the time you sign them and all that. I think that needs to be factored into the decision-making process.
Chris Landry with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. He's from LandryFootball.com. All right, where did you, in your copious notes last year, have Josh Rosen ranked? How would he rank if he were coming out this year with Kyler Murray and Haskins and Jones? Where would you rank Rosen with this bunch?
You know, I'd probably put him. I like Haskins a lot, but I you know, wouldn't play him right now. I think he's so young, but he'd fit kind of. I think he'd fit ahead of Jones. He's ahead of some of those guys that are going to go, you know, go pretty high this year. And again, if Jones goes in top 10, which, you know, very well could happen. I mean, nothing surprises me with quarterbacks. You know, to the first question you talked about, the quarterbacks. Doesn't it always happen that way? I mean, you start with a guy that, well, this guy's really more second round, and the panic sets in to need a quarterback, and then so if you like one, you move. When you consider all that, I mean, if you would have just put him straight in, he'd be in that conversation. Absolutely. I liked Sam Darnold better, and I like Baker Mayfield better, but he's absolutely within this group. I'd probably take Haskins and want to develop him, but I think he'd fit into that group, and in fact, I would throw this note in. Based upon what I've seen him do and some of the reports of guys that have coached him at the Cardinals,
mm-hmm.
I would say that he's a little bit better than I had him graded coming out of last year's draft. So there again, I'm factoring that in, and I'm going to go back to what I just said and repeat myself for emphasis. You do not have to pay any signing bonus, uh-huh. And he's on a rookie contract. I mean, what better deal can you get to just try him out and see if he can be that guy? In this day and age of you've got to have a quarterback, to me, I would try it even if I wasn't 100% certain. I'd give it a go because there's so much upside and so little downside, it just makes too much sense.
Mm. On Friday afternoon, we had the day off. I'm having lunch with my wife, and I get beeped that, I thought I was getting punked when I saw the Raiders were sending all their scouts home. There was trust issues, this and that. if you were consulting them, or if you ever have, but if you ever seen a situation like that, and I know scouts occasionally get some, but I mean, everybody gets sent home and then trust issues 6 days before the draft. What is going on with Mayock and Gruden out there?
Well, I think you're dealing with a first-time GM that's very insecure. You got about a dozen scouts that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of them have done a very good job. You know, that Raiders team, they were on their way to being a pretty good team. They've had some pretty good drafts. And, you know, not everybody was on board taking Khalil Mack. They took him. And, you know, despite what people may think about Derek Carr, I still am a believer in him. But these are some guys that, you know, I guess they don't trust all 12 guys. I mean, I don't know, one or two guys, you could have a bad apple like mm-hmm. here or there, but I don't know. That what I have heard is inside that room that, you know, Mayock was kind of out of his element. You know, there's a big difference between talking about this stuff on TV mm-hmm. and actually having to make a decision.
Yeah.
This is, you know, Mike's never done this. He's never been in the draft room, so he's a fish out of water. And I think he's, you know, pretty insecure. He's there to do whatever John Gruden wants him to do. And look, I don't know. I'm not going to get involved in a lover's quarrel, so to speak. But you know, if you have a problem with guys, I mean, here's how you handle it. And this is, first of all, nobody since I've heard this, and it really irritates me because I've heard people, a lot of his friends on the NFL Network, mm-hmm. you know, including some that have worked in the league, say, "Oh yeah, everybody sends their scouts home."
Yeah.
That is a lie. No one
Thank
sends
you.
Their scouts home.
Thank you
no
so
now,
much.
Now let me clarify something. Often draft meetings coincide with Easter Sunday. I have seen many organizations, if they get their draft meetings done, they'll fly their scouts home for Easter weekend, maybe even get them out on Good Friday, mm-hmm. and then they'll bring them back on Monday. Mm. But the send them home, that is just a lie. I mean, there's just no. Now, if you're not in a comfortable with them, then keep them out of the draft room. But here's the thing that I don't think people get. Is when you're dealing with mid-round picks, fourth, fifth, sixth-round picks, when you're signing undrafted free agents, that's where you really rely on your scouts. Who's going to help them with that? Who is going to help them get the right guys? Where are they going to get the numbers to people that are going to get on the phones to be competitive to sign free agents? Mm-hmm. They don't have anybody. Mm-hmm. This is, I mean, do you realize 31% of every team's NFL roster is undrafted free agents? 31%.
Yeah.
And basically, now you got nobody to do that. Look, they're not going to screw. It's almost impossible to screw up this draft. They got so many high choices. But, you know, you've got to be able to fill needs and get good quality through the draft. And I think they've hurt themselves. And look, if you do have some bad eggs, then you know what's the saying?
Yeah.
You know, keep your enemies close.
Yeah.
You know, if you got bad eggs, keep them in the building. Keep them out of the draft room. They're not going to be spilling the beans to someone else because no one would hire somebody. I would never hire somebody that's spilling the beans on the team that he currently works for. But now that they've basically fired him, well, if you think they're going to spill the beans, they're going to really spill the beans. And if you don't think they know who the Raiders like and don't like, you're kidding yourself, and then you hear things that are a little bit concerning, and this is a positive and a negative, but they're having some, you know, I guess training. Mayock is my understanding today is they're going to go through some scenarios to teach him how to go through trade scenarios during the draft and all that. Now that's good because he has no background, so he needs some practice. But this is an NFL team. And this is kind of where they are. You got somebody that's never been there. I mean, I hope that it works out, but they're going to need a lot of luck. But John Gruden's making all the decisions, so it's just Mayock's job just to do what Gruden wants. He's got 100 million reasons why he's going to make all the decisions.
Just a Chris, a quick follow-up. Do you think, and I brought this up to Craig and Chris earlier this week, do you think that another NFL team might try to pillage one of these scouts or try, have they not been on the phone? I mean, it's 12 guys, at least 12, 16 scouts.
You can't do it. It's not legal to
okay,
do that.
Okay.
Their contracts, scouts' contracts run through the draft. So they're not, they still have to pay them and they're still on the contract, so they can't do that. Now, but to your point, which is basically the same thing, is or will people maybe call those guys and say, "Hey, tell us what you know and get some intel"? Yeah, I bet you that will happen. And that's why I said, keep them in your building mm-hmm. so you can keep an eye on them, and don't let them in your draft room. But when you let them go home and you basically let them go, now if they are disloyal, well, they're really going to spill the beans now.
Yeah.
And then what are you going to do? You got no way to really control it. That's the difference between somebody that hadn't been around the block, that doesn't really know this stuff, but has got a big ego, you know, kind of gets out of control. I mean, look, I mean, you learn that it's like any business. You guys are professional in what you do. You know a lot more about what you're doing now than the first day you ever did it, and it's just a product of experiences and negotiating contracts and doing this. And I hate for them to be in this situation, but egos can kind of drive these situations, and let's hope that they can overcome it.
Chris Landry is with us, Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. Montez Sweat from Mississippi, would you stay away from him based on what we learned about his heart at the combine, or is that something that's manageable?
I would not, and again, I'm not a doctor. So, I mean, this is where you got to trust your medical people. And this is where you got to have doctors that are good. And as I used to like to say, I'll clean this up for you. The doctors better have some onions. You know, we used to say, get off the bleeping fence, doc, okay?
Yeah.
You know, tell me what it – I don't want a CYA guy. Tell me what he is. Here's what I've been told medically. And, again, I can't verify this because I don't know. Now, I have a heart condition, so I'm sympathetic to it, but I've learned a little bit, but I still don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't appear to be a problem. It seems like a Maurice Hurst situation. You guys remember Maurice Hurst?
Yeah, absolutely.
From last year with Michigan. Mm. All right, well, they don't see anything. Now, is there something there that they covered? Yes. Is it something that is going to – they don't see it being a problem. So, now, does every medical staff see it that way? Now, I can't vouch for that. He could slip. I'll say this, to answer your question this way. If I get the clearance on him medically, and if he slips, I'm rubbing my hands together because he has the best edge rush speed of anybody in this draft. Now, he's not the best pass rusher in terms of pass rush technique, but he's the best pure edge rush, better than Josh Allen, better than Bosa in terms of edge rush speed. So if he were to slip mid-late first round later, you're getting something of real value. In fact, his teammate, Jeffrey Simmons, coming off of an ACL, and some people have some character questions, that's another guy that could slip. He's a top-10 player in this draft, and you get him late first round, early second round. Both those Mississippi State Bulldogs are going to play, and I think play a long time and play well in this league.
Last question for me about, do you really think the Giants may pass on a quarterback at number 6? I mean, is that even, in this lifetime, in this universe, I feel like I'm living in a parallel universe sometimes. How in the hell can they pass on a quarterback at 6?
Well, here's why you would do it. What if you don't have those guys graded that way? See, that's the thing I think people miss. It's all about how you evaluate players. If you don't evaluate well, that's where you mess it up. I would never recommend they draft a quarterback if they don't like him. You can't draft a quarterback because, you might need one to replace Eli. Well, what good does that do to draft someone that's not good enough? Now, if you misevaluate and there is one good enough and you miss it, that's a different story. So, yes, they could do that. Do I think they will? I think they like one of these quarterbacks. Guys, it may be the guy that the Redskins mm-hmm. might be moving,
yep.
trying to move ahead of him to get. I don't know. It may be. This may end up being the Daniel Jones draft. It may be the Redskins move up ahead of the Giants. Wouldn't that be a storyline? Media would love that, right? The Redskins move ahead of the Giants. But no, I mean, I get your point. Absolutely. I've known Dave Gettleman for years. He is a really good evaluator of talent. I have a feeling that they like one of these quarterbacks, and I think that if they're in a position to get one, they will. Mm-hmm. I think they'd love to come out of it with two impact defensive starters and maybe their quarterback of the future. But if they like one of those guys and he's gone, then no, you don't take a quarterback to say you take a quarterback and you hope. I mean, that doesn't do anything. Then you're passing up a good player to take somebody that doesn't even upgrade you, is maybe not even better than Kyle Laletta. I mean, who's not good enough? So I think it comes down to your grades. You spent all year long, a year and a half, 2 years, grading all these players, And if you've done it correctly, then the draft is easy, guys, because the board speaks to you. Now, if you don't do a good job of evaluating and you don't know what you're doing, then you're pushing buttons, you're hoping, you're moving guys up. We think this, we think that. Well, you know what? We better do this. I'm scared we're going to. Then all of a sudden, you start gerrymandering the board. You screw it up. And guys, I've seen it over 30 years. Mm-hmm. The best teams in the league stick to the board and trust their evaluations. The ones that panic are picking in the top five every year. And the lack of stability of people that can do it right, it hurts teams every year. I see it all the time, and you just got to be smart about it. You really do.
Well, Chris, we could do 4 hours on this. And, in fact, you and I have done 4 hours on this in the past. It is fascinating.
We have.
Yeah.
We have.
I miss them, too. All right, thank you so much. Enjoy the draft tomorrow. We'd love your input. Thanks, Chris.
Awesome stuff.
You guys do the same. Enjoy it. Appreciate being with you. Thanks for having me.
You got it. That's Chris Landry. You get him at LandryFootball.com. He's an NFL scout and consultant, and I swear by him every year. Best in the business.
He's my new favorite person on the planet.
Oh, he's great.
Because he agrees with everything I said.